blessed Sabbath to everyone. And before we begin, I'm going to invite you to kneel before our Maker. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Jehovah, for allowing us to come here to worship you and your Son. I pray that you be with us. I pray that you may speak to us and that we may find encouragement in the reading and hearing of your word. We thank you and we ask you these things in Jesus' name. Amen. New light. What is your reaction when you hear this term, new light? There's many ways to understand that. For example, I see this person in a different light, in a different way. But in our study this morning, I have one view in mind, and that's Bible teaching or Bible doctrine. So when we hear new light, sometimes we become afraid. Some, however, become excited. Others become concerned. So the emotions differ, right? Nevertheless, Jehovah himself refers to the Bible as a lamp, which is a light that illuminates our pathway. We read in the book of Psalm, chapter 119, 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." It's very important that we read God's word, because God's words are actually, according to this psalm, a lamp and a light. O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. So we see here light and your truth. Let them lead me. What else? For the commandment is what? A lamp. And the law is what? Light. And reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Let us be careful in not rejecting reproof. It can literally save us. According to these few Bible passages that we just read, we find that the Bible is light. Its truths and commands are there to illuminate the pathway of the sinner, to point him in the right way. Many people are confronted with new light. New because they ignore what the Bible teaches. Notice this spirit of prophecy quotation. Wherever the truths of the gospel are proclaimed, those who honestly desire to do right are led to a diligent searching of the scriptures. If, in the closing scenes of this earth's history, those to whom testing truths are proclaimed would follow the example of the Bereans, searching the scriptures daily and comparing with God's word the messages brought them, there would today be a large number loyal to the precepts of God's law, where now there are comparatively few. But when unpopular Bible truths are presented, many refuse to make this investigation because they're unpopular. Though unable to controvert the plain teachings of Scripture, they yet manifest the utmost reluctance to study the evidence offered. Some assume that even if these doctrines are indeed true It matters little whether or not they accept the new light, and they cling to pleasing fables which the enemy uses to lead souls astray. Thus their minds are blinded by error, and they become separated from heaven. So as new truths come, they reject these truths. Why? Because they are unpopular. It's not what the majority say. It's not what the majority teach. It's not what the majority believes. And of course, those in Christendom, the truths we hold to them are indeed new light. However, how should we as Adventist Christians react towards new light? I'm sorry? Study. First and foremost, in order for us not to be deceived by Bible teachings under the guise of new light, we must become familiar with the old or original. Why? Notice the following statement. We are to pray for divine enlightenment, but at the same time, we should be careful how we receive everything termed new light. We must beware lest, under cover of searching for new truth, Satan shall divert our minds from Christ and the special truths for this time. I have been shown that it is the device of the enemy to lead minds to dwell upon some obscure or unimportant point, something that is not fully revealed or is not essential to our salvation. This is made the absorbing theme, the present truth. When all their investigations and suppositions only serve to make matters more obscure than before and to confuse the minds of some who ought to be seeking for oneness through sanctification of the truth. So we are told that we need to be careful with everything termed new light. For the remainder of this presentation, we're going to be looking at our history through the pen of Ellen White and our attitude towards new light. So that's what we're going to be looking at. Truth is eternal. And conflict with error will only make manifest its strength. We should never refuse to examine the scriptures with those who, we have reason to believe, desire to know what is truth as much as we do. Suppose a brother held a view that differed from yours, and he should come to you, proposing that you sit down with him and make an investigation of that point in the scriptures. Should you rise up, filled with prejudice, and condemn his ideas while refusing to give him a candid hearing? So what should we do? We should sit with such one. But notice, with those who, as we have, a desire to know what is truth. Unfortunately, some don't desire to know what is truth. Their mind is what? Is made up. And their only intention is to debate. We are not to waste our time with such ones. If they indeed, and I believe Jehovah's Spirit gives us perception that the individual is really desiring to know what is truth, then by all means, we shall sit with such ones. The only right way would be to sit down as Christians and investigate the position presented in the light of God's word, which will reveal truth and unmask error. To ridicule his ideas would not weaken his position in the least if it were false, or strengthen your position if it were true. If the pillars of our faith will not stand the test of investigation, it is time that we what? That we knew it. There must be no spirit of Phariseeism cherished among us. When Christ came to his own received him not, and it is a matter of solemn interest to us that we should not pursue a similar course in refusing light from heaven. In other words, we are not to take the attitude that we know it all. I know it all. And close or shut my mind from investigating more, perhaps could be further light, further truth. Notice, we must study the truth for ourselves. No living man should be relied upon to think for us, no matter who it is or in what position he may be placed. We are not to look upon any man as a perfect criterion for us. We are to counsel together and to be subject to one another. But at the same time, we are to exercise the ability God has given us to learn what is truth. Each one of us must look to God for divine enlightenment. We must individually develop a character that will stand the test in the day of God. We must not become set in our ideas and think that no one should interfere with our opinions. Here's a note on that statement that I would like to share. We are told we must study the truth for ourselves, make it our own, and not to rely upon men to think for us, no matter who they might be. However, this statement is not telling us that there is not a truth already established, as we shall see further in our reading. Because there's a problem that have arisen. We study the scriptures, and I understand something. And the other brother studies the scriptures, and he understands something different. This took place at the beginning of our movement. Okay? Unfortunately, well, let us read. In 1844, when anything came to our attention that we did not understand, we kneeled down and asked God to help us take the right position. And then we were able to come to a right understanding and see eye to eye. There was no dissension, no enmity, no evil surmising, no misjudging of our brethren. If we but knew the evil of the spirit of intolerance, how carefully would we shun it? This took place right at the beginning. Notice the year of this statement. What year? 1915, when she penned it. By this year, many new ideas were being embraced and taught. By 1915. And the controversy in Adventism was only intensifying. Notice how she points out our past as an example for us to follow. However, this statement can also be misunderstood. We are not to understand this statement as one stating that we are to tolerate falsehoods among us. We need to bring all of what Sister White has penned so that we can have a balanced view of what she is trying to say. Our brethren should be willing to investigate in a candid way, every point of controversy. If a brother is teaching error, those who are in responsible positions ought to know it. And if he is teaching truth, they ought to take their stand at his side. We should all know what is being taught among us. For if it is truth, we what? We need it, and we should not reject it. We are all under the obligation to God to know what he sends, to know what he sends us. He has given directions by which we may test everything. to the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. If the light presented meets the test, we are not to refuse to accept it because it does not agree with our ideas. In other words, we must yield our opinions and ideas and accept this new light or new truth, if it is in fact truth. But again, in order for us to know, we must become familiar with old light. In every age, there is a new development of truth, a message of God to the people of that generation. The old truths are all what? Essential. New truth is not independent of the old, but an unfolding of it. It is only as the old truths are understood that we can comprehend the new. So if we don't know the old truths, we're not even going to know if this new truth is actually truth. It is only as the old truths are understood that we can comprehend the new. When Christ desired to open to his disciples the truth of his resurrection, he began at Moses and all the prophets and expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Luke 24:27. But it is the light which shines in the fresh unfolding of truth that glorifies the old. That's very important. He who rejects or neglects the new does not really possess the old. For him, it loses its vital power and becomes but a lifeless form. Today's new light or so-called truths do not glorify the old. They condemn the old. By this, we should know that this so-called new light or new truth is nothing but falsehood. These new teachings that we have today, that we have all accepted, and we all accepted these new truths, so-called, because we were not familiar with the old. Right? We were very ignorant of what was taught back in our early days. This is important. Our attitude towards those who reject past giving life. What should be our attitude towards such ones? Should we stop loving them? Should we stop caring for them? Should we stop helping them? What about supporting them? Or financially supporting these ones who reject light? It is a grave mistake on the part of those who are children of God to seek to bridge the gulf that separates the children of light from the children of darkness by yielding principle, by compromising the truth. We are not to seek to bridge the gulf so that we can unite with those who are in darkness. Notice this following statement. I saw a company who stood well guarded and firm, giving no countenance to those who would unsettle the established faith of the body. Now notice how God looked upon these ones. God looked upon them with what? Approbation. I was shown three steps. The first, second, and third angel's messages, said my accompanying angel. Woe to him who shall move a block or stir a pin of these messages. The true understanding of these messages is of vital importance. The destiny of souls hangs upon the manner in which they are received. I was again brought down through these messages and saw how dearly the people of God had purchased their experience. It had been obtained through much suffering and severe conflict. God had led them along step by step until he had placed them upon a solid, immovable platform. I saw individuals approach the platform and examine the foundation. Some with rejoicing immediately stepped upon it. Others commenced to find fault with the foundation. They wished improvements made, and then the platform would be more perfect, and the people much happier. Some stepped off the platform to examine it and declared it to be laid wrong. But I saw that nearly all stood firm upon the platform and exhorted those who had stepped off to cease their complaints. For God was the master builder, and they were fighting against him. They recounted the wonderful work of God, which had led them to the firm platform, and in union raised their eyes to heaven, and with a loud voice glorified God. This affected some of those who had complained and left the platform, and they with humble look again stepped upon it. Who led them? God himself led them. God was the one that led them step by step upon a solid platform. And she says that he, referring to God, was the master builder. Are we trying to destroy what God has himself put together? I hope not. Notice now. Gather up the rays of divine light given. Divine light. Who was this divine light given to? When men come in who would move one pin or pillar from the foundation which God has established by his Holy Spirit, let the aged men who were pioneers in our work speak plainly, and let those who are dead speak also by the reprinting of their articles in our periodicals. Gather up the rays of divine light that God has given as he has led his people on step by step in the way of truth. This truth will stand the test of time and trial. Notice the year that this was penned, 1905. She's saying, let the dead man speak. Let the old men, those who were with us in the beginning. How? By reprinting their articles. When the power of God testifies as to what is truth, that truth is to stand how long? Forever as a truth. No after supposition contrary to the light that God has given are to be what? Entertained. Men will arise with interpretations of Scripture which are to them truth, but which are not truth. The truth for this time, God has given us as a foundation for our faith. He himself has taught us what is truth. One will arise, still another, with new light, which contradicts the light that God has given under the demonstration of the Holy Spirit. A few are still alive who pass through the experience gained in the establishment of this truth. God has graciously spared their lives to repeat and repeat to the close of their lives the experience through which they passed, even as did John the Apostle to the very close of his life. And the standard bearers who have fallen in death are to speak through the reprinting of their writings. I am instructed that thus their voices are to be heard. They are to bear their testimony as to what constitutes the truth for this time. Same year, 1905. Notice, she points, it was God that has been leading this movement. God built this platform. And whatever light comes that contradicts the light that God has already given, we are not to entertain. I was shown that the only safe position for Brother B, this is a brother that had differing views, is to sit at the feet of Jesus and learn the way of life more perfectly. His doctrine shall drop, referring to Christ, his doctrine shall drop as the rain, and his speech shall distill as a dew upon the heart of the humble and teachable. Brother B must obtain a teachable disposition. He is not to sit as a judge, but as a learner, not to cavil, but to believe, not to question and find fault and oppose, but to listen. Pride must give way to humility, and prejudice must be exchanged for candor, or the gracious words of Christ will be in vain to him. My brother, you may reason with your blind judgment and unsanctified mind until the day of God, and not advance a step toward heaven. You may debate and investigate and search learned authors and even the scriptures, and yet grow more and more self-deceived and become darker and darker, as did the Jews in reference to Christ. What was their fault? They rejected the light which God had already given them, and were seeking for some new light by which they might to interpret the scriptures as to sustain their actions. What was their fault? She plainly states, they rejected the light which God had already given them. And that's what's taking place, unfortunately, today. And we are not to be prideful. We are to be humble. It is my understanding that it takes humility for me to change a view, or to give up or yield a view. It takes humility to do that. I was wrong. You are doing the same. You pass over the light that God has seen fit to give you in the publications upon present truth and in his word, and are seeking doctrines of your own, theories which cannot be sustained by the word of God. When you become as a little child, willing to be led, and when your understanding is sanctified, and your will and prejudice surrendered, such a light will be shed abroad in your heart as will illuminate the scriptures and show you present truth in its beautiful harmony. It will appear like a golden chain, linked, joined to link, in a perfect whole. Except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Learn of me, says Christ, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Sometimes, well, we should be this way at all times, like a little child, willing to be led. Now the next, I find it very interesting, because the majority of, I include myself, of course, a majority of us who, for one reason or another, are not meeting in the corporate church, have a very independent mindset. In other words, we study something, and we see something, and we come under the conviction of it, and there's no one telling me not to teach it. And I'm not going to go along or work along with the brotherhood. And we shouldn't be that way. Of course, we're in 2019, and the corporate church has abandoned and departed from the past truths. So we feel like we're called to be Jeremiah's, correct? Elijah's, prophets, who didn't stand alongside apostate Israel. But this was not what God intended. He intended for his church to be patterned after the heavenly church or the heavenly kingdom, which we know there's ranks, correct? And there's order, there's organization. An angel doesn't just say, I'm going to do this and I don't care what anybody says. And he points to Jehovah God as his right to do so. We have Christ, the captain, and we have the heavenly angels. We have different class of ranks in heaven, don't we? And so I find this very important or very interesting, because I find that God at one point in time, through the pen of inspiration, pointed to the body. In other words, to Jehovah's people. And we're going to see that. Notice, I have received yours dated June 3. And this letter you speak, this is a letter to Chapman. In this letter you speak in these words: Elder Robinson does not wish me to leave, but urges that I enter the canvassing field until such time as the conference can afford to employ me in some other capacity, but states positively that I cannot be sent out to present the truth to others until some points held by me are changed or modified in order that the views regarded by us as a people should be properly set forth. This is coming from the organization then. He quotes as a sample, my idea in reference to the Holy Ghost not being the Spirit of God, which is Christ, but the angel Gabriel, and my belief that the 144,000 will be Jews who will acknowledge Jesus as the Messiah. On all fundamental points, I am in perfect harmony with our people. But when I try to show what seems to me to be new light on the truth, those in authority, none of whom have seemingly ever made any personal investigation of the matter, refuse to look into the Bible, but brand me as a fellow with queer ideas of the Bible. So he had two views that differed from the body. What was the response to Chapman? Brethren should not feel that it is virtue to stand apart because they do not see all minor points in exactly the same light. Let's read carefully. Brethren should not feel that it is a virtue to stand apart or divided because they do not see all minor points in exactly the same light. If on fundamental truths they are at an agreement, they should not defer and dispute about matters of little real importance. To dwell on perplexing questions that, after all, are of no vital importance, has a direct tendency to call the mind away from truths which are vital to the saving of the soul. Brethren should be very modest in urging these side issues, which often they do not themselves understand, points that they do not know to be truth, and that it is not essential to their salvation to know. When there is a difference of opinion on such points, the less prominence you give to them, the better it will be for your own spirituality and for the peace and unity that Christ prayed might exist among the brethren. Now notice, we are told we are not to dispute about matters of little real importance, correct? Were the two subjects held by Chapman of little importance? That's the question. If you were to ask those in responsible positions then, they would respond with concern over Chapman's views, as we just read. They didn't even allow him to go into the field, or they didn't agree for him to be out in the field. So much was their concern that that's what took place. But what about the prophet? What about Ellen White? What did she say? Notice, your ideas of the two subjects you mentioned do not harmonize with the light which God has given me. The nature of the Holy Spirit is a mystery, not clearly revealed, and you will never be able to explain it to others because the Lord has not revealed it to you. You may gather together scriptures and put your construction upon them, but the application is not correct. The expositions by which you sustain your position are not sound. You may lead some to accept your explanations, but you do them no good, nor are they, through accepting your views, enable to do others good. Now notice what she continues to say about the Holy Spirit. It is not essential for you to know and be able to define just what the Holy Spirit is. Christ tells us that the Holy Spirit is the Comforter, and the Comforter is the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of truth, which the Father shall send in my name. I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. This refers to the omnipresence of the Spirit of Christ, called the Comforter. It's not Gabriel. It's not another individual. It's nothing more than the omnipresence of the Spirit of Christ. So she's letting him know what it is, right? Now, furthermore, Chapman is counseled to do the following. Notice, I hope that you will seek to be in harmony with whom? With the body. I have been shown that you would not exert a saving influence in teaching the truth because your mind is restless. And unless you drank deeper of the fountain of life, you would make the mistake that many others have made of thinking that you have new light when it is only a new phase of error. Did she agree with the organization then? She continues, you need to come into harmony with who? The body, once again, your brethren. You may take certain views of Scripture, and searching the Bible in the light of your ideas may gather together a large number of texts and claim that they mean this and that, and call for anyone to prove to you that your views are incorrect. But what influence could anyone have upon your mind when he takes the same Scriptures and interprets and applies them differently? Both of you claim to found your views on the Bible. And it would be a waste of time. It's like playing ping pong, right? I share a few quotes, either from the Bible or Spirit of Prophecy, and you share your portion. And we're not going to get anywhere. And this is exactly what was taking place, like I mentioned in our early beginning, where there were hardly two that agreed. How did they come together? If they were all studying the Bible together, how did unity transpire, take place? Notice, I recommend to you, dear reader, the Word of God as a rule of your faith and practice. By that Word, we are to be judged. God has, in that Word, promised to give visions in the last days, not for a new rule of faith, but for the comfort of his people, and to correct those who err from what? So was James White, John Loughborough, Uriah Smith, and many others corrected on their views regarding the Son of God or God himself? What about Smiths, Haskells, Jones, and the rest of the pioneers? You get the 1888 Bible readings for the home that was put together by hundreds of Bible students on their views on prophecy, the Eastern question. She says here that the visions were not for a new rule of faith, but for the comfort of his people and to correct those who err from Bible truth. If these brothers were in fact erring from Bible truth, God would have moved her to correct them. That's right. Because it was him who was leading the movement. It was not man. It was him. And I find it a miracle, because it is in fact a miracle, that those there in the early or mid-1840s yielded their views and accepted the words of Christ through Sister White. And the only way we're going to see unity today is for us to yield our views and humble ourselves and accept all of God's counsel. We are told that if we believe that God has spoken through Sister White, we will be saved from the many delusions that will come in these last days. Christ will not undertake to teach the self, righteous, self-conceited, and self-willed. If such come to him with inquiry, what is truth? He gives them no answer. It is only the meek that he will guide in judgment. The meek will he teach his way. Solomon was naturally endowed with good judgment and large reasoning powers. But he acknowledged himself before God as a little child. He sought for wisdom from God with humility, and he sought not in vain. If you really search for the truth with the right motive, you will come with who? The body. For what? They have the truth. If you are searching the scriptures and different authors that you may, if you are searching the scriptures and different authors that you may find doctrines which will coincide with your own preconceived opinions, and if you have already settled your faith, then you will be boastful, self-confident, and unyielding. That people like Kellogg, Froome, Weir, and others studied material of different authors outside of Adventism to arrive at their doctrinal views? Yes. Yes. By their own testimony. All of these men departed from the light that God had already given. Their findings took them to contradict and not to confirm the past teachings. That's where their findings took them. Notice, the very same Satan is at work to undermine the faith of the people of God at this time. There are persons ready to catch up every new idea. The prophecies of Daniel and the Revelation are misinterpreted. These persons do not consider that the truth has been set forth at the appointed time by the very men whom God was leading to do this special work. These men followed on step by step in the very fulfillment of prophecy, and those who have not had a personal experience in this work are to take the word of God and believe on their word, who have been led by the Lord in the proclamation of the first, second, and third angels' messages. These messages, received and acted upon, are doing their work to prepare people to stand in the great day of God. If we search the scriptures to confirm the truth God has given his servants for the world, we shall be found proclaiming the first, second, and third angels' messages. If we search the scriptures to confirm the truth God has given his servants, not to contradict this truth. You recognize these facts in Bible history as true, but apply them to the future. There's a lot of that going on today. There's a lot of prophecies that are being applied to the future. They have their force still in their proper place in the chain of events that have made us as a people what we are today. And as such, they are to be presented to those who are in darkness of error. The true workers of Jesus Christ are to cooperate with their brethren who have had an experience in the work from the very rise of the third angel's message. These followed on step by step, receiving light and truth as they advance, bearing one test after another, lifting the cross that lay directly in their pathway and pressing on to know the Lord, whose goings forth as prepared as the morning. You and other of our brethren must accept the truth as God has given it to his students of prophecy, as they have been led by genuine living experience, advancing point by point, tested, proved, and tried until the truth is to them a reality. From their voices and pens, the truth is bright. Warm rays has gone to all parts of the world, and that which was to them testing truth, as brought by the Lord's delegated messengers, is testing truth to all to whom this message is proclaimed. The leadings of the Lord were marked, and most wonderful were his revelations of what is truth. Point after point was established by the Lord God of heaven. That which was truth then is truth today, but the voices do not cease to be heard. This is truth. I have new light, but these new lights and prophetic lines are manifest in misapplying the word and setting the people of God adrift without an anchor to hold them. She said something here that I would like to highlight. The true workers of Jesus Christ are to cooperate with their brethren. You and other of our brethren must accept the truth as God has given it to his students of prophecy. You must. Your views are incorrect. You must come into harmony with the body, with your brethren. God has given light. Are we getting the picture? It is true that there are prophecies yet to be fulfilled, but very erroneous work has been done again and again and will continue to be done by those who seek to find new light in the prophecies and who begin by turning away from the light that God has already given. The messages of Revelation 14 are those by which the world is to be tested. They are the everlasting gospel and are to be sounded everywhere. So again, sure, there's prophecies that are still to be fulfilled, but we are not to depart from the path, from the truths that have been given in the past. I chose the following statement. It's not from Ellen White. It's from Stephen Haskell, as I really like what he stated. Notice, when the time passed in 1844, there were none who believed the truth as we now hold it. All believed the prophecies that brought us to that time. Then began a greater searching of the Bible than had ever been, probably at any time since the days of the apostles, after 1844. They went over and over the old arguments concerning the prophecies that pointed to 1844. And after most thorough examination, they could see no other conclusion than that the prophetic periods terminated at that time. As they studied, they began to see one link of truth after another. And as these truths unfolded to the pioneers, I have reference to such men as Elder James White, J.N. Andrews, Uriah Smith, J.H. Wagner. They did not dare present that truth to the people until they had made it a special subject of prayer and the spirit of prophecy has set its seal to it. They didn't just take and ran. The leading points of our faith as we hold them today were firmly established. This is in 1903. Point after point was clearly defined. And how many of the brethren were united or came into harmony? All. In reviewing our past history, having traveled over every step of advance to our present standing, I can say, praise God. As I see what the Lord has wrought, I am filled with astonishment and with confidence in Christ as leader. We have nothing to fear for the future, except as we shall forget the way the Lord has led us and his teaching and our past history. We have nothing to fear if we do this. When the power of God testifies as to what is truth, that truth is to stand forever as a truth. No after suppositions contrary to the light that God has given are to be entertained. Men will arise with interpretations of Scripture, which are to them truth, but which are not truth. The truth for this time, God has given us as a foundation for our faith. He himself has taught us what is truth. One will arise and steal another with new light, which contradicts the light God has given under the demonstration of his Holy Spirit. So that we shouldn't be surprised today if we find different interpretations to different prophecies that differ from the light that was given in the past. And let me tell you, from my own experience, I have listened to some expositions that are new. And they make sense. But it's contradicting past light. And therefore, I cannot rely on that. God has not passed his people by and has chosen one solitary man here and another there as the only ones worthy to be entrusted with his truth. He does not give the man new light contrary to the established faith of the body. In every reform, men have arisen. In every reform, she says, men have arisen making this claim. Paul warned the church in his day, of your own selves shall men arise speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. The greatest harm to God's people come through those who go out from among them speaking perverse things. Through them, the way of truth is evil spoken of. So you want to name who you follow? And you're a disciple of such one. But we have seen that God himself has led this movement. And we are disciples of Christ. And we are told to be in harmony with the body. Not the harmony of the body here in 2019, but the harmony of early Seventh-day Adventism. And when she penned and told Chapman to be in harmony with his brethren, that was in 1891. There are 1,000 temptations in disguise prepared for those who have the light of truth, and the only safety for any of us in receiving And the only safety for any of us is in receiving no new doctrine, no new interpretation of the scriptures, without first submitting it to the brethren of experience. Lay it before them in a humble, teachable spirit, with earnest prayer. And if they see no light in it, yield to their judgment. For in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Wow. She really had confidence at one time in the brothers, huh? But then we know we're all familiar with this quote where she says, and I don't have it here, but she did say, at one point in time, I'm paraphrasing, if the voice of God was the general conference, it is no longer. And why so? Because they started to depart from the light. But at one point in time, she had very much confidence that God was leading these men, his servants. Where shall we find safety? Unless it be in the truths that the Lord has been giving for the last 50 years. This is our safety. We don't have the brothers of experience, but what I do, I have their publications. And if there's new light, I go to them. Symbolically, and I become familiar with their teachings. And if these new teachers are contradicting the old, then I'm sorry. God was speaking through Sister White, and he brought our people into doctrinal unity back then. Ellen White would be given a vision, and she would then point the brotherhood just how God intended that passage to be understood. Without this prophetic gift, doctrinal unity would have been impossible to achieve. Will we yield our personal opinions and views at the feet of Jehovah's Counsel today? She's telling us. It's clear. If we don't agree with any portion of what they taught, we are wrong. Because she clearly states that it was God who led these men step by step. And she said, if we believe she was a prophet, and I believe we all do, she said, the prophecies of Daniel and the Revelation are misinterpreted. If that one prophetic book, Daniel and the Revelation, had any error And I'm not saying it's 100% infallible. There's minor things, but as a core in its teaching, if she saw that there was error in that book, she would have spoken out against it. That's for sure. But if you read what she says in regards to that book, English is my second language, and I think I understand what she penned pretty good. New life from God will not contradict past truths. I hope that's clear. If they do, you can be assured they are falsehoods. So I pray that we can all become familiar with the old truths, so that we won't be deceived by so-called new truths. Because there is new light, an unfolding of the old. But it would only confirm and glorify the old and not contradict and condemn it. So with that, I invite you to kneel with me once again so that we can pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you once again for the spirit of prophecy. For we are pointed in the way that we should walk in. And it is clear to me, and I hope it was clear to everyone else and those who may be here and watch this presentation, where your hand is pointing. And that we may be humble enough to follow you and yield our own views and opinions. Thank you, and we ask that you may continue to be with us throughout the rest of this blessed Sabbath and Holy Sabbath. We thank you, and we ask this in the name of Jesus, your precious Son. Amen.